terrorists, kidnappers are criminals. What cases are some of these leaders trying to make for these bloodletting bandits? I think it's high time political officials stop making such public statements and also stop playing with our sensibility. Statements like this can only continue to support the narrative that some leaders are sympathetic with these bandits. What we want to hear from them are strategic plans on nipping these problems in the bud. In fact, they should stop talking and start acting, period, he says. Femi D, hello. Okay, wait, let me see. Femi D, I was taught wrongly on vocabularies and synonyms in my studies, which and I use as a means of earning a living. The word bandit, it refers to someone who carries arms and operates outside the legally recognized constitution. The synonyms for bandit is robber. A robber is one who steals with a gun and can, as will kill. My question is, how then an elected governor of a state is saying it's not all bandits that are criminals? God is watching. Master P is the one raising that question. Chimex from Gwag says, from D, hello, is the governor of Zamfara State kidding me? The very word bandit smacks of criminality. Are these leaders aware of the words they speak? What a mess, he says. Samuel Unnaimeka from Kagini says, I like such programs, Mr. Femi, you do it better. Femi, the governor is 100% aware of what is going on in the state, and not only him, so many others. They know what to do to fish out the criminals, but unfortunately, they have refused to do the needful. Femi, the fact that governors are making excuses for criminals gives us a lot of insight into their mindset. It was Bauchi governor the other day, today in Zamfara. Why are they making excuses for criminals? The war against criminality is going to be a long one. What a country. Educate from Mississippi writes in. Israel from Durumi says, let me see now. How is Kim doing? Oh, she's doing well. Good evening, Femi. That's what you do. Go on to ask. Okay. Good evening, Femi. The governors, I believe, know what they're doing. When Goodluck Jonathan was ruling, he created Niger Delta Ministry. He gave them the power to secure the creek. He gave them the power to protect the pipeline. And he wanted not to stand to fold their hands. Okay. So you believe that some of the leaders want the same thing given to Niger Delta. There's no difference between insurgents, Boko Haram, bandits, you go on to say. All right, well, that's an interesting theory. Let's leave it at that with you. Mustafa from Gates Village says, Governor Matawale of Zamfara State, that is saying that not all bandits are criminals, is of the PDP. Governor Bala Bauchi, that came out to justify AK-47 by the criminals, is a PDP chieftain. Sheikh Gumi, that knows the locations of all these bandits in the forest, was the chief imam of a popular politician's and his campaign in the PDP in 2019. Therefore, we're waiting to see more of these revelations from them in their attempt to destabilize the country because of their rejection at the general elections by Nigerians. That's another perspective to this. Joy is just looking at me. Family, the governor to go to the school was just state managed to discredit the idea of authorizing guns to citizens. I've studied this country to the highest level, he says. Family, you're more than good at your job, bro. You're the bomb. Bomb is not exactly what to be using right now. I tell you, man, the things beyond his nose. Should take your analogy about the girl that took a local gun to school seriously. That was a peaceful Nigeria before this era. We must go back to the drawing board and stand on a common ground to tackle this insecurity. The common enemy we have is our leaders. They're not ready. That's why we're seeing all of them having a divided opinion about the insecurity in the country. God will help us all. Imus from Yaya says that. Well, it's time to stop by now. It's time for the news, and Joy is here. Thanks so much. Hi, Joy. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Yeah, I couldn't help but notice that a lot of comments on the young girl that brought a gun.
Yes.
There, and like I was telling to you, I think we need more information.
We should.
What her parents, her background. Is it just over hair?
Mm.
Is there more? Is there something the teacher has been doing to offend her?
Mm.
I have a lot of questions about that kind of behavior. I guess I live in an area where the public school, there's a bit of gun running going on and all of that. But for a student without prior background, I'm just assuming,
mm-hmm.
she has no prior background of violence or, you know, insubordination in the school, and she's bringing a gun. I have many questions. I'm hoping they will be answered.
All right, let's look forward to the success. Okay, all the best with the news. I'll be back shortly.
Your number one go-to source for news, talk, sports, and more talk. We are always one step ahead. We are with you, and that's why we are 95.1 Nigeria Info.
A pleasant evening to you from the news desk of 95.1 Nigeria Info. A look at our major stories. Police deploys more personnel to rescue abductees in Niger school attack. Borotai says provision of basic amenities will end insurgency. PDP lifts suspension on 7 federal lawmakers. And in Uganda, they've jailed soldiers for assaulting journalists. The details and much more coming up shortly. COVID-19 is real. Wearing a face mask is better than being in a ventilator. Take personal responsibility, observe high personal and respiratory hygiene. Now the news in detail. The Inspector General of Police, Mohammed Adamu, has given assurance that the force is irrevocably committed to the safe rescue of all abductees in the recent attack on Government Science College, Kagara, in Rafi local government area of Niger State and other related incidents. The IGP, in a statement by the police spokesperson CP Frank Mba, said, additional rescue assets have been deployed to save the recently abducted students in Niger State. According to the statement, a joint massive search and rescue mission involving the police, military and other law enforcement agencies is ongoing to ensure that all abducted persons are rescued unhurt and reunited with their families. The IGP assured Nigerians that the students will be rescued soon. Former Chief of Army Staff Lieutenant General Tukur Buratai says insurgency, banditry and other criminal activities cannot be eliminated by military action alone, but through the provision of basic amenities for the people. Buratai stated this on Thursday when he appeared with former service chiefs before the Senate Committee on Foreign Affairs for screening as non-career ambassador nominees. He said qualitative education, roads, hospitals and employment must be provided if government is serious about ending insurgency.
You can't have access since independence up to now. Where do you get the solution? There are so many ungovernable spaces. Until those things are penetrated, those locations are penetrated with road infrastructure, with rail, with amenities in terms of hospitals, schools, and so on, then we carry everybody along. And education is very fundamental.
Former Chief of Defence Staff General Abayomi Olunisaki, who was the first to appear before the committee, stated that he had warned state governments about the new dimension that insecurity would take, but no action was taken.
And I said then 3 years ago that our next crisis would be in the forest. Some governors were invited. We told them because most of the forests are the prerogative of states. The states took over all the forest reserve. And I said too, we had to protect the forest. We had to send things to the forest to protect the forest.
Other former service chiefs that appeared for the screening are former Chief of Air Staff Ibokete Ibas and former Chief of Naval Staff Abubakar Sadiq. Meanwhile, Senate on Thursday confirmed the nomination of Victor Morocco as chairman of the Fiscal Responsibility Commission. The confirmation followed consideration of the report of the Senate Committee on Finance, headed by Senator Solomon Adeola. But immediately after presentation, the Senate leader, Yahya Abdullahi, objected to the confirmation on the basis that full nomination to the Commission's board was yet to be forwarded to Parliament by the President. Senator Abdullahi therefore insisted that the chairman cannot be confirmed alone without the complement of full membership of the board.
The chairman by himself cannot actually run the commission unless he's accompanied by the membership of the commission. So it is really futile to just send us a nomination of the chairman without the full complement of the membership. Therefore, I think without any prejudice to the person that has been appointed because he's competent and qualified, I think it's important for us to write or step down the particular nomination.
President of the Senate Ahmed Lawan, however, prevailed on his colleagues to confirm the nominee, pending when the full list of nominees was sent to the Senate.
That for someone to act for 7 years, I think so much is expected of that person. If he would now be confirmed, we expect that we'll do the confirmation. We can write to Mr. President to inform him to send the names of the other proposed members of the commission so that we're able to also screen them.
The People's Democratic Party on Thursday lifted a suspension placed on seven of its members in the House of Representatives. The party discloses on Thursday in a statement signed by party spokesman Kola Ologbodunyan on behalf of the National Working Committee, NWC. According to the statement, the PDP noted that the lifting of the suspension was based on recommendations of various committees set up on issues relating to the suspension. The party also charged the lawmakers to be loyal to the party and obey its directives in line with its constitution and vision. The members are Ndudi Elumelu, Waleoke, Linda Ibazu, Anayo Edwin, Gideon Gwani, Toby Okechukwu, Adekoya Abdul Majid. According to the statement, the lawmakers were suspended for alleged anti-party activities, particularly in the pattern of their voting in the House minority leadership. The Lekki Concession Company management of Lekki Tollgate in Lagos has announced that it is currently indebted to local and foreign creditors to the tune of 11.5 billion naira and $31 million respectively. The managing director of LCC, Yomi Omamu Wasson, said as of 2011, the firm owed commercial banks in Nigeria 24 billion naira and the International Development Bank $49 million. Mr. Yomi, who told correspondent Ijoma Essek that it was not set to resume toll collection, said it may take up to 3 months to resume operations.
By the nature of the restoration work to be done, it takes some time. And we explained to them that if we're not allowed to do this, it will appear that we are being shortchanged on both ways. We were burned down for reasons not having to do with LCC. Secondly, you will now be preventing us from making the necessary claim, which will help to reduce our loss.
He also appealed that if they are not allowed to resume business, their 5,000-man workforce could lose their jobs.
In addition to the fact that we have employees who have not been coming to work and their employment status will be jeopardized if we continue in this kind of scenario, because if you keep them at home and probably out of job for an event that has nothing to do with their company, they'll probably be feeling very, very cheated and unhappy with the system.
The National Agency for Food and Drug Administration and Control, NAFDAC, has approved Oxford AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine for use in Nigeria. NAFDAC's Director General, Dr. Mojisola Adeyeye, announced this on Thursday during a live briefing. Dr. Adeyeye said the vaccine can be stored at 2 to 8 degrees centigrade.
The recommendation for emergency use authorization of COVID-19 vaccine from AstraZeneca or through Serum Institute, also called COVIShield, was based on rigorous scientific considerations as summarized below. One, vaccine quality. We have to ascertain that the vaccine has quality. We also look vaccine safety and efficacy, because safety and efficacy are premium to us as regulators. Agency. Our goal is to safeguard the health of our people.
The vaccine, recently approved by the World Health Organization for emergency use. The NAFDAC director Adeyeye says the agency got the dossier of the vaccine a week ago. According to her, NAFDAC safety committee went to work immediately to evaluate its safety and efficacy for Nigerians. Meanwhile, River State Governor Yemi Osinbajo has said no state government should use COVID-19 as an excuse not to invest in infrastructural development that will foster economic development and prosperity. Osinbajo stated this on Thursday while conducting former Governor of Abia State, Senator Oju Uzokalu, on a facility tour in Port Harcourt. In a statement by his special assistant on media, Kelvin Ebiri, Governor Wike said River State will not join the League of States that hide under the guise of COVID-19 pandemic to deny their people basic infrastructure like roads, which is universally acknowledged as a major contributor to higher economic productivity, growth, and trade.
And now the business news.
The National Bureau of Statistics has declared that Nigeria is out of recession. The Bureau, in its quarterly report released on Thursday, said that Nigeria's gross domestic product, GDP, grew by 0.11% in real terms in the fourth quarter of 2020, representing the first positive quarterly growth in the last three quarters. It also explained that the positive growth reflects the gradual return of economic activities following the easing of restricted movements and limited local and international commercial activities in the preceding quarters.
And now we bring you news from around the world.
News from around the world.
Around the world.
The Ugandan military says seven soldiers have been given jail sentences by a disciplinary committee for beating up journalists outside the United Nations Human Rights Office on Wednesday. According to the report, the Irvine soldiers were given sentences of between 2 to 3 months at a military detention facility. The trial of the four privates, a lance corporal and two captains, was not open to the public. Earlier, Uganda's army chief apologized for the violence that left six reporters injured. The incident happened as the opposition MP and musician Bobby Wine was delivering a petition over human rights abuses to the UN.
Take it away with the entertainment news.
Nigerian music star Davido has been named as one of the next 100 most influential people in the world for 2021 by Time magazine. In a reaction on his social media platform, the Firm crooner said he was proud to be included in the inaugural hashtag Time100Next list. According to the magazine, the excerpt for the selection of Davido was written by Nigerian rapper and BB Niger Lockdown Season 5 winner, Lekon.
And now, updates on the sports news.
And finally in sports, the Super Eagles has dropped to 36th slot from the 35th on the latest FIFA World Rankings to be released this year. The Nigerian national team, like many other countries that went down in the ranking, has not been in action since November 2020 when they drew goalless with Sierra Leone in Freetown. While Nigeria dropped, CAN winners Morocco and Mali made huge gains due to their exploits at the tournament. Morocco moved up two places to 33 in the world, while Mali moved up three places to 54th. The next FIFA World Ranking will be published on April 8, 2021. And that's the package for this evening. But just before we go, a look at our top stories. Police deploys more personnel to rescue abductees in Niger school attack. Baratai says provision of basic amenities will end insurgency. PDP lifts suspension on seven federal lawmakers. And on the foreign scene, Uganda jails soldiers for assaulting journalists. And that's the news as edited by Fidel Osegale. Don't forget, you can always send us eyewitness report as news breaks in your area. Send your report to eyewitness@kuwazobeinfo.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook at Nigeria Info FM Abuja, Twitter at Nigeria Info ABJ, or visit our website www.nigeriainfo.fm, or visit Google Play Store for our mobile app. Thank you for listening. I am Joy Eberebe.
Broadcasting all day, every day, from the heart and capital city of Nigeria. This is Nigeria Info 95.1 FM.
Stay together, stay together, stay together. like tomato in my rice. I, you be my type, my potato and my size. Beautiful baby, come close, make me take photo. I, beautiful honey, join me for my own moto. My beautiful, beautiful baby, yeah, yeah. Yes, I love you, I hope you love me. Oh, my beautiful baby, we're gonna get together.
Real info, authentic info, Nigeria info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Hard Facts with the enigmatic Femi D Live.
95.1 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the show. It's now 17 minutes past 6 p.m. Some people say it's time that they will say it's good evening. Some people start their good evening from 4 o'clock. But I'm glad I can say good evening from 4 o'clock. I belong to that class. I'm not too sure how that works anyway. But welcome to the show. At this time, we have from Bridge Clinic now, an important discussion we need to have, a discussion that have to do with women, discussion that needs, for any man who is married or wants to marry, there's a conversation you need also to be part of closely. And for the women, what you essentially need to know about your body as we go along, okay? So today on Bridge Clinic, a conversation that will run for about 30 minutes, there's a lot to talk about when we want to discuss the concept around blocked fallopian tubes. Can I say it again? Blocked fallopian tubes. Dr. Sekina Taraji Olarin Oye is here with us today. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
How are you today, madam?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having
me. All right, well, so much can be said. Just to make things clear, she's a consultant gynecologist at the Bridge Clinic here in Abuja. Mr. Anrizi Egemoye, I hope I got this right now.
That's correct.
Yes, he's also here with us. He's the clinic manager. Their office is at Umaru Diko Street in Jabi. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
So there's a lot to really go into. The key messages and actions is not just about getting your mind educated in terms of health, but also being able to follow through with some key action that will make a difference, okay? So today we'll be talking about blocked fallopian tubes, which is very common cause of infertility among women these days. You never can tell. Some say you find out later down the line. It's called tubal fertility, and it accounts for about 30% of all infertility cases presented each year. Now, some women have one tube blocked, while some have both tubes blocked. And tubes play a very important role in conception, which is why the topic is extremely important, especially for women who have had a diagnosis of blocked tubes before. Dr. Olariloye will be leading us through this conversation. So let's start with what. No, let me not go with what. What are fallopian tubes?
Okay, thank you very much. So the fallopian tubes are actually tubular structures that connect the ovaries to the uterus. They pick up the eggs from the woman's ovary following ovulation, and it is within the fallopian tube that the sperm meets the egg, and then a new life is formed. Fertilization takes place, and then a new life is formed, what we call an embryo, which will now lead to conception. So they're very important because if they are blocked, then the sperm and egg cannot meet, and then fertilization cannot take place. Pregnancy becomes impossible. And like you said earlier, one tube may be blocked or both. So when you have both tubes blocked, then it becomes extremely difficult and extremely challenging to have pregnancy. And it's the commonest cause of infertility in this part of the world.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so but how big are these tubes? Because sometimes people start to imagine when you say something is a tube, some people say, why would you say something is blocked? A fallopian tube can be blocked. How big are these tubes? Is there a fun fact around something we should know?
Yes, it's actually very narrow. It's a narrow structure. And the caliber, you know, it has an outer diameter, but the caliber where the sperm and egg actually passes through is very tiny. Just like the shape of a needle.
Oh,
a sewing needle.
Wow.
So you can see that any minor damage in the tube can easily lead to blockage. Because you know the body, when there's an injury, usually the body heals with scarring. Okay, it heals with scarring. So when there's scarring inside the tube, the walls of the tube just close up. And then blockage happens. So that's why it's very easy for the tubes to get blocked.
So I would assume that sometimes people say, oh, nothing is wrong with my body. I've never experienced any form of scarring or any form of injury or any surgery. Some people say, well, I'm just in this. But what are some of the causes of this? The blockage of the tubes. What are some of the things that causes the blockage of tubes?
All right. So the commonest cause of blockage of the tube is actually pelvic inflammatory disease. So this is an infection that spreads from the lower genital tract, the vagina and the cervix, through the uterus into the tubes and then the surrounding pelvis. That's the lower part of the abdomen. So when this occurs, fallopian tubes are infected. Like I said, they heal with scarring. And so this is what usually causes blockage of the tubes. An interesting fact is that for most women who have sexually transmitted infections, there's a particularly notorious infection, we call it chlamydia, that accounts for the most cases of blocked fallopian tubes. And in most women, they have no symptoms, they're not even aware they have an infection. So they get infected, the body heals them of the infection, but the bacteria has already caused some damage in the tubes, which is usually irreversible. So that's still the commonest cause of blocked fallopian tubes. However, other infections that could occur following miscarriages. So if a miscarriage is not well managed, infections could occur. Or if one has an unsafe abortion, maybe goes to quacks, who use unhygienic instruments in a very unhygienic place, and then she gets an infection, it could lead to blockage of the tubes. Even following delivery, if delivery is not properly managed, and the woman gets infected, she could actually develop blockage of the tubes. It could also follow a condition we call endometriosis. So an endometriosis is a painful condition in women in which tissue that should normally reside within the uterine cavity, the cavity of the womb, we actually find it in other parts of the body, including the pelvis. So this causes some reactions within the pelvis and can lead to scarring, we call it adhesions, inside the abdominal cavity. So imagine if you have a hose. A hose can be blocked on the inside. It can also be blocked from outside if it gets twisted or kinked.
Yes, true.
So adhesions within the abdominal cavity can lead to kinking of the tubes. So this could result from endometriosis, or it could also follow surgeries. A person has had any kind of surgery in the abdomen, whether man or woman, they have a risk of developing adhesions. So these adhesions are like scar tissue within the abdomen that can plaster structures together. So if the fallopian tube is involved in an adhesion, imagine the fallopian tubes are plastered to the uterus or to the ovaries, this could also lead to blockage externally. So these are the commonest reasons for blockage of the fallopian tube.
I can imagine a lady out there is asking the question about, oh, what about toilet infections? Because sometimes women go and say, oh, I can't use this toilet, I don't use toilet outside, but you know, some say, okay, toilet infections, can it be a cause as well? I mean, point of infection, can toilet infection be a cause of this?
Okay, so the popular toilet infection. So toilet infection is a colloquial language, but in medicine, it doesn't really exist. Okay, a woman could have infections from different things, and they could just have infections that reside within the vagina and the outer parts of the genitals, what you see from outside, which we call the vulva. And those are infections like the yeast infection. That's the commonest infection people call toilet infection. And this usually does not lead to blockage of the tubes. But then when you have sexually transmitted infections, when a woman has foul-smelling abnormal discharge with abdominal pain, with fever, with nausea and vomiting, she needs to see a gynecologist fast, because these are the kind of infections that could actually lead to tubal blockage in future, if not properly treated. So a woman has a vaginal discharge, she should see a doctor who will quickly make a distinction between vulvovaginitis, regular infections and the pelvic inflammatory disease, which is quite deleterious to one's fertility.
Okay, so one of the things that has always remained a mystery is internal medicine. You know, when you say internal medicine, like, you know, the type where you can say, oh, this is the symptom of this, this is the symptom of that. You can carry yourself, jejeli, I'm going to submit to doctor. Doctor, I don't know how he's doing me. But internal medicine can really be tricky. And that's, you know, for example, the tubal blockage that you mentioned earlier. How can a woman know she has tubal blockage? It's something that's really close to internal medicine.
Okay, so the truth is, for most women, if not all, and I dare say all, tubal blockage is actually asymptomatic, meaning that there are no symptoms. It doesn't cause pain, it doesn't cause anything. So the woman just lives her life, and she's not aware.
Yes, please
go. She's not aware that she has tubal blockage. So, but then, what would usually make one know is when a woman or a couple have infertility and then they are now undergoing evaluation and the doctor asks them to do some tests. Okay? It's at that point that you now discover that there's actually tubal infertility. So, some of the common tests that we do, the commonest one is what we call hysterosalpingography. It's also known as HSG. And a lot of women know about the test. And what we do in HSG is that we pass a dye through the cervix into the uterus. And if the tubes are open, the dye will pass through the tubes and empty into the pelvis. And then a radiologist is there to take, or a radiographer is there to take x-rays.
For the coloration.
So when you take the x-rays, the tubes are open, you see what we call spillage on both sides. If one tube is blocked, there'll be spillage on only one side. If both are blocked, there'll be no spillage at all. Other tests is what we call laparoscopy. Laparoscopy is also called KO surgery, where a fine camera is passed into the abdomen. And then another form of dye is passed from below. And then you can actually see the dye coming out of the tubes live, okay, with the camera passed into the abdominal cavity. So that's another way of confirming that the tubes are actually blocked.
Okay, so I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, Femidi, you are talking about gynecology, you're talking about women, but that's a very important conversation that we're having here with regards to blocked fallopian tubes. And consultant gynecologist at Bridge Clinic here, Council of Bridge Clinic, she's here with us today. Dr. Sakinat Raju Olamiwuji is with us. And yes, I did mention as well, Arize Egemoye, the clinic manager here with us. And in your clinic, it appears there's the opportunity for people to participate, for them to know how they can get involved and even know what's going on in their body if they choose to. Amazing.
Okay, thank you very much, Femdi, and then you listening. Good evening once again. We are coming to you from the Bridge Clinic. Bridge Clinic is located at Omarodiko Street in Jabi. It's a one-story building opposite NIPCO gas station. We're inviting you for an event that is happening on Saturday. It's free. We call it a welcome forum. That's where you have an opportunity of meeting the gynecologist one-on-one who will x-ray every other details that you need to know concerning infertility. So for you to attend this all-important session on Saturday, 20th of February, that's next tomorrow, I need you to text them the word fertility to this number I'm going to read out to you now. Text the word fertility to 081-04-60-7747. I take that again. 081-04-60-7747. The event is for 10 a.m. on Saturday. It just supposed to run for 2 hours. So I would expect it to come in on time. But for you to qualify to be eligible to attend this event on Saturday by 10 a.m., you text the word fertility to 081-04-60-7747. The Bridge Clinic is located at Jabi. It's a one-story building opposite NIPCO gas station at Omarodiko Street on Saturday, 10 a.m. You can also visit our website at www.thebridgeclinic.com. There you find all information you know concerning infertility and this particular topic. But the consultant will be available by 10 a.m. to give you every detail concerning the event. It's welcome fun for Saturday. Text the word fertility to 081-0460-7747. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we'll still be checking with Arizi as we go along, but you know, let's go into, you know, a lot of people have said, Femidi and Dr. Sekinat, you've kept us in medical class for the last few minutes. Let's go a little bit into situations. I mean, we have couples, a lady has given birth before, and now she's struggling to have, you know, alongside with her husband, presumably, to do the same, young couple married. They are not sure, should we start checking? Is it 6 months before we check? Is it 1 year? All kinds of reasons to consider an examination. What are the options for couples with tubal blockage who desire pregnancy or who don't even know what they're dealing with? I mean, is it a test you should do if you're a young couple or you've been around for a while or you just feel something is not right?
Okay, so what we recommend is that if you've been trying to conceive for more than a year, for at least 1 year, then you should see a doctor. And one of the tests the doctor will ask you to do is to check for the patency of your tubes, aside from other fertility tests. However, in women who are greater than 35 years old, we actually recommend that after 6 months of trying to conceive, that you should see your gynecologist, because we know as women grow older, you know, fertility declines, so you don't want to wait 1 year. And if you're a woman who is greater than 40 years, you should seek help almost immediately, no more than 3 months after you've started trying to conceive. So these are the regular guidelines we give people. And if as a woman, you know that you have issues, fertility challenges, you don't have to wait 1 day. A woman has irregular periods, for example, or a man has issues with maybe erectile dysfunction, or he knows that he has semen abnormalities, then there's no point waiting for 1 year. You know, once you meet a new partner, then just start seeking for help immediately. So now, to the second question, for those who have issues with tubal infertility, what can be done? So I'm going to talk about two different options and why one is superior to the other and why one has been is now obsolete. So in the past, tubal surgery was the only available option for those who had tubal blockage, where an attempt was made to try to open up the blockage. But remember that we said that the tubes are very tiny and very delicate. And then scarring is what leads to blockage in the first place. So after opening up the tubes, they start healing again. And then they scar again. And it's back to square one. So the success rate was abysmally poor. About 5% of cases. That's how poor the success rate was. And then for those in whom it was successful, we now had issues of what we call ectopic pregnancy. In ectopic pregnancy, you know, the baby grows outside of the uterus, most times in the tube. So what happens is that there's some blockage in some parts. Maybe the tube is able to pick the egg from the ovary, but the egg cannot continue swimming towards the uterus, or rather moving towards the uterus. So the sperm meets it inside the tube where its progress has stopped, and then it fertilizes inside the tube and it continues growing there. And guess what happens? It's like a blowing a balloon, it's going to burst.
Yes, at some point.
Yes, at some point. And that's very life-threatening, because woman bleeds into the, you know, into her abdomen. And then it's the commonest cause of death in the first trimester of pregnancy. The woman could actually die from it. So the success rate was poor, and those who had good results, who had success, ectopic pregnancy rates were very high. So the world needed something more, and that's IVF actually came into being, in vitro fertilization. So the first baby that was born from IVF was because the mom had blocked fallopian tubes. So in vitro fertilization, I'll call it IVF for short, the eggs are gotten from the mother, the sperm is gotten from the man, and then fertilization occurs outside the body in the lab. And that way you can bypass the fallopian tubes. So you don't need fallopian tubes to be able to conceive. So those who have tubal blockage actually have the opportunity of conceiving. The success rates are very good. And then the risk of having an ectopic pregnancy is very minimal, almost zero. It's just that in medicine we say never say never.
Never say never. That's true.
So the good news is that luckily, you know, it's now present in Nigeria. You know, people don't have to travel out. Some 20, 30 years back, they would actually have to travel out to have IVF, in order to have a baby. If a woman had blocked tubes some 25 years ago, 30 years ago in Nigeria, she would be classified as barren. There was no option for her. But IVF is available. And then it's just revolutionary in the management of tubal blockage. And it is what we recommend. It is safer than having tubal surgery. In fact, nobody does tubal surgery anymore, actually.
Okay. All right. Before we, take on a few calls this very afternoon, just to check in with Tanrizi, because some people's interest might have picked up now to say, well, now that you've mentioned how long I've been married or how long, been married, there are questions I need answered privately and on an appointment, of course, Tanrizi, right?
Yeah. So, like I said, if you needed to come in, it is free for Saturday. Normally, our appointment days are between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Mondays to Friday, and then 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
That's the Bridge Clinic now.
Saturday, the Bridge Clinic. So you can always call this number to make an appointment. But for Saturday, Welcome Forum, you are attending this event free. You will be able to have the doctor speak to you to know exactly what your questions are, and then you receive automatic answers as well. You've heard her say that people who have blocked tubes, they say can conceive. So come on Saturday and get more details. I'll give you the number again. 0810-460-7747. 0810-460-7747. Text the word fertility to this number. And then Bridge Clinic Abuja is located at Omaru Diko Street. It's a white story building opposite NIPCO Gas at Jabi, near the Grand Kubena Hotels. So you can also visit our website, like I said, www.thebridgeclinic.com. But for you to attend this event on Saturday, you have to text the word fertility to 0810-460-7747. The event is for 10 a.m. on Saturday, 20th. Saturday is next tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good enough, and I do hope people would, even before this, I know there are people who may consider saying, oh, okay, before the forum, they may consider, well, maybe I could talk to Dr. Sakinat Olanruyi, even right here via the telephone. So we have a few minutes to spare right now. So if you want to call in and just ask questions that you feel is peculiar to a friend of a friend, those type of scenarios, feel free to call in now. The numbers are 09460051, and as well you can call in on 00959574869. Come on with case by case. Let's start off the conversation as part of the forum even from here. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon, evening rather now to you. Good evening. How are you today? Your name is? Okay, just speak up a little bit more so that she can hear you as well.
Okay. Always I've been hearing those first past memories for me because I had secondary fertility problems before I had my so just to butter the point that all what you said is correct. But somehow in my own personal intervention, because also at my block. And then I was set to do IVF.
Thank you so much. I struggled to hear a little bit of what you said, but you mentioned that what she had mentioned is correct as well. Hello, welcome. Hello. Hello there to you. Oh dear. Well, that's the input. Okay. Good evening to you. Hello, good evening. Good evening. Oh yes, good evening. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, just turn down the volume of your radio, okay?
Okay, I'll come out from there. My name is Sami. I'm speaking from Apo.
All right.
Over 6 years now, my wife has not even conceived that we have two issues before. We lost one, the only one is remaining in our hands. Now, the issue is that they, I don't know, maybe the doctor can help me out. That is the last test we did, that we used a testing tube, whether the ovulation is even coming out at all. So we finished that tube, we did not even see any sign of whether ovulation is coming out. So I don't know what doctor can help me out from that.
Okay, thank you there. All right, Dr. Nkukwu, you want to respond to that?
And let me start by saying sorry about your loss. And I think what you need to do is to actually see a gynecologist. There are so many reasons why a woman may not be able to conceive following previous deliveries. One of them is the blocked tubes that we mentioned. Another could be that maybe she has issues with ovulation, or there's a problem with the uterus, the endometrium, which is the lining of the womb where the baby is going to grow on. And there could also be other hormonal abnormalities that could affect pregnancy. There could also be semen abnormalities, because one common thing we notice is that usually men do not go for tests. They just ask the woman to go for tests. So infertility is a couple's problem. So what I would advise is that you should see a gynecologist and have a complete evaluation. And I'm sure that the solution would be found.
All right. Welcome to the show. Good evening to you.
Hello, Mr. Femi, how are you?
Very well, very well. Good to have you on the show.
I greet your guest in the studio. She has spoken very well. I just want to say, this is Barry Tarsan. I greet all the listeners. You see, Nigeria has a peculiar problem in terms of maternal mobility and mortality. Constitutes, one of the highest in the world. I don't know, I just want to ask the doctor something. I don't know whether it's possible. The National Health Insurance scheme to apply to, rural women, because rural women are the end of this blockage of, fallopian tube, in the sense that they cannot source for remedies because of their, material position. It is very tasty, very serious situation in this country, and it's really heartbroken and, it's something that we should not be proud to be ashamed with.
Okay.
So, please, okay. I'm asking the doctor for what remedial measure can be taken.
All right.
Women who are suffering from blockade of fallopian tube, and they cannot have, they cannot source for medical help.
All right. Thank you, Barrister Hansen. Let's hope she's able to squeeze that in, even though we have about 3 minutes to go. Hello, good evening.
Yes, how is it?
Okay, go on, please.
Hello?
Yes, please go on.
Yes, my question is to the doctor in the studio. Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can. The line dropped off. Okay, let's give this call a try. Welcome.
Hello, am I talking to Femi?
Oh, yes, you are. I'm here. Welcome.
Please, good evening.
Good evening. Go on, please.
Okay, I want to ask the doctor, if
My wife has two kids before. Then later on, her monthly cycle was not flowing. Can the doctor handle that?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Just hold on for hanging there for your answer.
All right. Thank you very much for your questions. Let me start with the last caller. Monthly flow not flowing. Of course, definitely the doctor is the best person to handle that. So there are a myriad of reasons why that could happen. And when you see your gynecologist, he's going to have evaluations to determine why it is not so. And then a solution can now be outlined following the evaluation. And as the other caller who asked about
NHIS
getting to the rural community. Well, it's unfortunate, even right now, even, you know, most people who enjoy NHIS services are people who work with the federal government and also in some state governments. Even at that, infertility management is not covered under NHIS. But it's something we're advocating for. We're pushing towards it so that, because we see fertility as a human right. So everyone deserves, who wants to have another child or who wants to have a child deserves to actually have a child. So it's what we're pushing for and advocating for, and hopefully it will soon be on board. Thank you.
All right, okay. Let's just check in with Anrizi, because 1,001 questions, the lines keep ringing here. But Anrizi, you'd have to provide us with perspective on how people can come and get more answers on their own.
Okay, so like I said, the event is free for Saturday 20th. It's for 10 a.m. Text the word fertility to 081-04-60-7747. If there are some that may be listening and they couldn't get this number, but you can say come for that day. The Bridge Clinic is located at Omaru Diko Street. Omaru Diko Street is at Jabi, opposite NIPCO gas station. It's beside the Grand Cubana by Apostolic Faith Church. The time is 10 a.m. Please come and come in time. You will be able to see the doctor and then listen to all other details that you need concerning this particular topic. With blood tubes, you can still conceive. Thank you very much. We'll be expecting you for 10 a.m. at the Bridge Clinic, Omaru Diko Street.
All right. This conversation we've been having for the last 30 minutes is brought to you by the Bridge Clinic. And yes, our guest was provided so much enlightenment today, Dr. Sakina Tiraji Olanwoye. She's a consultant gynecologist at the Bridge Clinic, Abuja. And of course, Mr. Anrizi Egemoye, clinic manager at the same organization. That is the Bridge Clinic. The office is at Umaru Diko Street in Jabi. All right. Thank you so much. It's been so much lovely listening to all the perspective and, you know, developments as we have in Nigeria. And also, of course, you explaining how, I think the most fascinating part about the conversation was to learn that the fallopian tubes are tinier than the tip of a needle. That was quite enlightening. And it also means people need to realize that women's bodies are sensitive, and men also have a role to play in supporting women to, you know, in case there's an event, to understudy or to ask questions about both couples or anyway. I mean, a couple should find out about that. Thank you once again so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Fendi.
Stay with us, right here on Nigeria Info. We'll be back after that.
This is Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
This is a sponsored program.
Stay with your number one talk station wherever you go. Wherever you go.
Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info ABJ. Like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/Nigeria Info Abuja.
Listen and watch us live on www.nigeriainfo.fm/Abuja. Chat with us on WhatsApp 080-999-30137. Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/Nigeria Info FM.
Connect with us, stay in touch, and never miss the latest updates.
Only on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info, your number one news, sports, and talk station.
In the moment. So how important is gratitude to you? Well, how important is it for you to feel good? If it is important, you must make gratitude a top value and practice it as a priority every day. It costs you nothing, but it makes you so rich. It takes nothing away from anyone else, but it gives you so much power. How much more magical would your life be if you lived in a constant state of appreciation for everything that is great in your life? Number four, kindness and compassion. The world would certainly be a better place if people showed more kindness and compassion. Less judgment, more respect. It's placing yourself in someone else's shoes before you judge them. Have you ever noticed how good it feels when you are kind to someone for no reason? It feels good to be kind, because it is right to be kind. What would your life be like? What would your world be like if you valued kindness and compassion more? Number 5, integrity. Knowing you do the right thing, even when no one is watching,